Somebody shout for Jesus. Do me a favor, shake two hands and say, I serve the risen Savior.
Boy, wasn't that good. Do you mind singing that song again? Joy, unspeakable joy. Sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry.
One, two, three,
Joy, unspeakable joy. All the glory we wear, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy. Rises in my soul. Never let me go.
One more time.
Jesus makes me happy. Amen. Now, religion doesn't make me happy. Tradition doesn't make me happy. But I'm not serving a dead God in a grave. My Jesus came, and this is what we're celebrating tonight, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus to save his people from his sin. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room need a Savior. We might think we can save ourselves, but boy, I tell you how foolish that is. We're hoping to get up tomorrow morning. We don't have the power to save ourselves. There's only one that can save us. His name is? I said, his name is. No, I don't think I can hear you yet. His name is Jesus. Jesus will save us from our sin. Amen? Why don't you turn to someone and say, well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a moment of time. Rhonda, why don't you come on up here with me? My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We are blessed to pastor at His Tabernacle Family Church, and we're thankful that you're here this evening. Brother Bonomo, we love you. I know many of you, this might be your first time in church in a long time. We want you to know we're glad that you're home. We want you to know that God's house is not a place of beating or torturing or boredom. It's a place where you can come and truly meet with Jesus. And he's the one that matters in our lives. Amen? You know, when Jesus was born, I don't know, I kind of was deceived as a kid. And it really bothered me when I got to Bible school. In all the plays they did, Jesus, we had the shepherds at the manger. How many of you remember the shepherds at the manger? And then I was always told the wise men were at the manger. And I believed that my whole life. How many of you thought the wise men came to the manger? Nope. 2 years after the birth of Jesus, the wise men came. And it wasn't three wise men or they'd gotten beaten up. It was a whole group of wise men, and they brought their gifts to Christ. Well, they brought their gifts not only because of the direction of the Holy Spirit, but because Christ was getting ready to have to escape because of Herod. Herod put out a decree, just like Pharaoh did way back with Moses, to kill all the children under the age of two, all the boy children. So he put out a decree that all the children would be destroyed under the age of two, all the boys. Can you imagine the massacre? You know, we don't ever hear much about that. But there was a great massacre at that period of time. And God preserved the Messiah by sending him all the way to Egypt on the gifts that were given by the Magi. And today, I'm excited because we're in the same business as Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We're here not to have religion. We're here not to have an organized building. We're here as the children of God. And our job is simple, to seek and to save them which are lost. It's not who can build the biggest building or who can have the most people or who can have the most money. It's about how many people can we change through the name and the power of Jesus. That's what matters in this house. And with that, our family, throughout this last 3 weeks, we've given you all envelopes. It says, Happy Birthday, King Jesus. If you're our guest, we just want to welcome you to come if you have an offering. But for our family here, we have gifts that we want to bring to the Lord. Why do we want to bring these special gifts? Just like the Magi, it was to save the message of the Messiah so that it would be propelled to the future. And what this church does, what we do here at His Tabernacle, is we believe in three things that we do all the time. We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. That's what we do here. And in that, every time that someone comes and put their offering in the offering plate, it's not squandered or played around foolishly. I believe that we're going to be held in judgment for every single dime that's received in the offering. That should awaken us. And with that, we've asked all the family to bring a special, not just your regular tithes and offerings, but a special offering for Jesus this evening. A love gift to Him, just like the Magi would, to propel the gospel for 2017. You see, 2016 has been the year of what?
Kingdom seed.
And 2017 is going to be the year of? Yeah, you don't know till next week. You're going to have to come next Sunday. It's going to be an awesome year to seek and to save them which are lost. So today, we're going to ask you all to stand. And right now, thank you, Cody. And what we're going to do is we're going to receive the offering. And we don't want you to bring it to church. We want you to bring it to Jesus. When you put your offering plate, when you put your offering in the offering plate, I want you to declare this. The Messiah has come, and the message will keep going. And that's what we're doing. Every dollar that's put in will build the kingdom of God, will save souls. Last year, I want to give God praise. Over 300 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ at His Tabernacle Family Church. That's exciting. It's exciting to see a life changed. We get to constantly see that, and man, there's nothing better. There's no better drug than watching somebody change for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So tonight, for all the family members, if you have your special envelope, if you'd like to raise it up, well, why don't we do this? If you don't have an envelope and you want to have one, there's no pressure for all of our guests, but you'd like to have a special envelope, if you would like to, the ushers are ready right now. If you'll raise your hand real quick, the usher's going to speed right through and give a special offering for the envelope for the offering. We want to remind you that you can give by text, that you can give online, so many different ways to be able to be faithful to God. Does everybody have an envelope that wants one? Just raise your hand real quickly. There we go. Anybody else? Very good in the mid-back. Carl, keep going back that row. Keep going down. Young lady with that gorgeous hat that makes a ding-a-ling. I like that thing. She said she's going to have one for me next year. Amen. Are you ready to give?
Amen.
Say this with me. I'm not giving to a church. I'm not giving to a religion. I'm giving to my Jesus. Just like the Magi gave, I'm going to give. That the message will never stop, but will change lives. Amen? Let's pray over the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the ability to give. God, we thank you for those that this is their home and they tithe and they seed. We thank you, God, for those that are our guests this evening. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, is not only we give our base, but God, that we give that special gift to you, that seed to you. For we know seed time always produces harvest. That, Lord, we'll see the greatest things in our lives in 2017 than we've ever seen before. We give you honor, Jesus. Thank you for coming. We need you. We can't live without you. And that is no joke. So tonight, we give because of love. And we honor you, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And everybody in agreement said? Now, listen, what we're going to do is there's offering plates that are in the middle on both aisles. If you'd like to give, just come right on down and make sure that you give in the offering this evening. Make your way up to the altar. All the children that are in the choir, you come right out of your chair. Come right on up front. All the children in the choir, come right out of your chair. Come right up front. Praise the Lord. We're excited tonight. I want to give God praise. Every single month, about 280 children are in our children's ministry here on a Sunday morning. We also minister to another 220 children between Wednesday night and Thursday night that are different children. So every week, I just want to give God a thank you that he's trusted us with the babies. Every single week, right in the vicinity of 360 children are ministered to in this house under the age of 18. And we have a few of them right here right now. Dude, you got the best bow tie. It's nice. And he drew me an amazing picture. He did. I just want to say thank you, dude. Could cause trouble. Pastor Johnson.
Try it again.
What does Emmanuel mean?
I just love watching the babies. There's nothing better, amen? It's so exciting being able to watch children grow up in the principles of God's word. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, bind the principles around their head. Wear them as bracelets upon their arm. Use them as frontlets to their eyes. How many of you know what a frontlet is? You ever seen those horses? They have those big leather things around their eyes so they can only look forward. We want to protect the children. If there's ever been a time we need to make sure that our babies know Jesus, it's in this season and time of life. Can I hear an amen? The world is getting nasty, but God is great. And God's children need to know who he is. Amen? We're getting ready to step into the skit, and we are excited. Pastor Johnson has been such a blessing to us, and this evening he is going to be presenting the skit. It is called, What Did the Angels Say?
Gabriel the angel is getting ready to come and speak a word into a young virgin's life, and her life will be changed forever. In this particular pericope of scripture, it does not state what the angel encountered when he returned to heaven. But for all of my theology students out there, let's just peruse or even sneak a peek into what were the angels thinking when Gabriel returned with the mighty news that Mary was going to go through with this great act? What did the angels say? Gabriel's report.
Many years, but especially I guess at this time of year, it just seems like you left yesterday. I find it hard this time of year. No one comes home for Christmas anymore. Seems like some of our traditions are gone, but I still do this one for us. I remember you didn't want me to buy this. You told me it was too expensive, but I remember when you would unpack it and you would hold each of these animals or these figures. You'd check it all over to make sure it wasn't broken or marred. And if it was, you'd take it and you'd lovingly fix it up so it looked just like new. And every year, I still bring it out and I still do our tradition because I remember that this was our favorite thing. You are going to give me a heart attack.
Oh,
how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
So I'm here like I said I would be, but where is everything?
Well, most of it's still in the attic.
Oh.
I did bring out the nativity set, though. I was hoping to get it all unpacked before we started, but, you know, these old hands, they just don't work so well anymore.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of all, look at this thing. It's like an antique.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make them like this anymore.
Not at all. Not at all.
So how old is this?
Let me see. This is going to be 41 years old this Christmas.
What?
Yes.
No way.
It is. It is. And you know, I remember when we bought it, your grandfather and I took a trip to Colorado. And it was a little vacation, and we were looking around, and I saw this, and oh, I fell in love with it. I had to have it. But you know your grandfather, no, it's too expensive. No, there's other things we need to pay.
Sounds like grandpa.
But you know, it's like I told him. It's like sometimes you just have to invest in something so wonderful that you can pass on to generation to generation. And well, I dug my heels in and I didn't say no, and as you can see, I got my way and it came
right
home with us.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So you had a tradition of putting this up every year?
Oh yeah. This was the very first thing that we did. We brought down the manger scene, and we would, you know, take it all out of the boxes, and we'd look it all over. And your mom really loved this. And she would set it all up, and then she'd tell her angel story, and then Grandpa would read from the Bible. And then it's like our season started, and we went from there.
What? You say my mom did this every single year?
Oh, this was her favorite part. She couldn't care less about the tree or the stockings or any of the other Christmassy
what?
Stuff. Oh, yeah. She wanted, and she just took so much pride in this that she lovingly all set it up, and then she would tell her little angel story, and off we'd go.
No way. She never mentioned doing anything like this to any of us.
That breaks my heart.
I mean, do you remember the story that she would say?
I'll never forget the story that she told.
Awesome.
It was the same one every single year.
All right, let's hear it, Graham.
Okay. Once upon a time, in heaven, there were three angels waiting for Gabriel to get back from delivering the news to Mary that she was going to have the Christ child.
Now.
This is not happening.
Gabriel's always back by now. She should have been back by now.
Look, all I can say is this is not happening.
Look, get over it. This is happening, all right? You know, it's just not like her to be late. You know, I really hope nothing went wrong. Wait a second. Yeah, I think I see her. Yeah, that's her. Come here, quick. Listen, you know how she is about these things. She'll tell us when she's ready. Okay, just act natural.
Natural. Okay.
There she is.
Hey,
hi, Gabriel.
Gabriel. How you doing, girl?
Hi.
Hey. Yes. Just acting natural. All natural. Yes. So? Took you long enough, out with it. What'd she say?
Good job. Real natural.
Well, I acted natural. I waited a few minutes. Well, what'd she say? Will she do it? Did she say yes? What'd she say?
She said she'll do it.
Yes! She said she'll do it! She's
no.
gonna do it! Oh my goodness!
This is not good! This
not
is
not good! It's awesome! It's not good! It's awesome! So who is she? How is she? What kind of person is she?
You know, she's not really special. In fact, she seems kind of human.
Great. We all know that nothing good has ever come from humanity.
But yeah, but I mean, Gabriel, she's got to be like a special human, though. Like royalty or a princess. She is carrying the King of Kings. Tell her, Gabriel. Tell her. It's a princess.
Nope. She's not that either. She's a regular girl. Really, rather basic.
Now there's a surprise.
But if she's just basic, then how'd you get her to take the job?
Yeah, I'd like to hear this one, because we all know that humans never want to help.
No.
Actually, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. You see, when God first told me what he wanted me to do, I'll admit, I had a few doubts. But with great love in his voice, he told me to seek out the young girl named Mary and tell her of his wonderful plans for her. So off I went. Took a really great deep breath in. I set my jaw and I gently appeared before her. You gotta be really careful about these things, you know. You're never quite sure how humans are going to react to an angel encounter.
Tell me about it. Like that time where God had me appear to Gideon?
Girl, your gown that day, it
what?
Was so beautiful. It was magnificent.
Okay, I'd like to hear this.
He shut us down.
Thank you.
Just as I was told, I called her by name. And I told her that she was going to have a baby. And she would name him Jesus. He would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and man's very source of salvation from sin.
Gabriel, you can't put that kind of information on a mere human. How did she take that?
Well, it was just as I expected. At first, she was scared. I mean, not just of me, but of the news I was bringing to her. But the more we started to talk, it was like something began to happen. A great peace had just came over her. And she simply said that if this is what God wanted her to do, that she knew that God would give her the strength to do it. Hey, even you've got to admit, it's pretty good for a young girl.
Look, I still think this whole thing is a really bad idea.
Look, give her a break, Arch. She is human.
You don't want to hear what you got to say.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
As I looked into those eyes of hers, something began to happen. A great happiness had just welled up inside of her. And I knew that this whole thing just might work out after all. Hey, you never know. Maybe she's humanity's bright spot.
Don't kid yourself. We all know that mankind does not deserve an honor like this. What have they ever done except cause the Father grief? It just doesn't make any sense. If he has to go down there, like has to go, then we should take him. Think about it. We could descend to earth, and we could all sing, hallelujah, and all of creation would know that the Father has come. That's it. We have got to convince him that going down there is a baby. It's just, it's all wrong.
Pause. Hashtag nah. So you're telling me that you're going to walk up to the Heavenly Father, creator of all heaven and earth, and you're going to tell him, God, I know you don't make mistakes, but this whole infant king thing is a bit of a bad idea. I know you're God, you don't make mistakes, but this is your first. Okay, good luck with that, girlfriend.
Well, when you put it that way, maybe it's not my best idea.
You think?
But think about it, okay? None of us even knew this was possible until a few days ago. But can any of you tell me why? Why does he want to go down there and take the form of mere man? Look around. This is heaven. It's the place of eternal joy and peace. This is where God is. So why, in heaven's name, would he want to go down there to that dirty, smelly, nasty, ungodly, and unholy place to take the form of common man?
Stop. Angels don't talk like that.
Well,
you know, I hate to admit this. Like, really, really hate to admit this. But I think she's got a good point.
See?
Gabriel, can you fill us in with this?
Yes, I think I can.
You can?
You see, God wants to go down in form of a man. He told me this. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because.
Come here. He wants to.
He wants to. But why?
Because God loves his people so much that he wants to give them the most incredible gift imaginable. Think about it, will you? God can imagine some pretty incredible things. I mean, he did make us and we are pretty incredible.
No, look too bad, girl.
You see, God decided to send his one and only son as the single most incredible gift to each and every person who will ever live on this earth.
Wow, you guys, when Gabriel puts it that way, I mean, he must really love them.
Yes, he does love them.
Okay. But do you think that they realize that?
Not a chance.
Only the Father knows for sure. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Let's get ready for our post, guys.
I have to go and tell Mary's fiancé.
Fiancé?
What? Whoa. She's not even married?
This is not
she
happening.
Didn't say she wasn't married. How's this fiance. Supposed to work? Fiancé?
That was it. That was your mother's story. Every single year.
Wow, she had an imagination.
She did. That she did.
Did she have one for Joseph, too?
You know, I'm sure if we'd let her run with the whole thing,
yeah,
she probably would have had a doozy for Joseph, too. But we kind of brought her back to earth,
right,
so to speak. And then after her story, Grandpa would read from the Bible, and our season would start, so to speak.
So how come no one still does this anymore?
Well, your mom grew up, and she had her family and moved away, and then your two uncles, they moved away, and Nobody's come home for Christmas in years. So it just kind of went by. But I still do it every year. I still make sure the nativity scene comes out. I talk to Grandpa. And the only thing that's different is I'm the one that reads the story now.
Well, you know what, Graham? I'm going to be here this year for Christmas. And I would definitely love to carry on this tradition. So do you mind at least going through it with me at least just once?
I don't mind at all.
Sweet.
All right, I'm awesome. Excited. Okay, so you have your nativity scene, and you set it up just exactly how you want it here. You put your little animals where you want them and the shepherds and the whole thing. And once you get it where you want it, you bring your family around. Then you take your Bible. You open it to the second chapter of Luke, and you read the story. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that's it. Now our season starts, because Christ is the reason for this season. So once we have the story in the set, Christ is here. So do you have a church, Josh?
No, me and my wife haven't really been looking. I haven't found one yet either.
I think in order to start this tradition and do it right, you need to come with me to church. Would you and your wife come with me on Christmas morning?
Sure.
You will?
Absolutely.
Okay, then that's the way we're going to kick off. Because you're going to find in church that you're going to be just overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to come into your heart, and you're going to find that he lives in you all year long, not just this season.
Awesome.
Okay, so I will see you. I'm excited.
All right, awesome.
I will see you on Sunday morning.
All righty.
Okay. Drive careful going home.
Awesome.
The roads are probably going to be slippery, so
be
careful.
I'll be fine, Graham.
Okay, bye.
All right, see you, Graham.
We got him, Sam. We did. We've did good.
Jesus is the reason. I just wanted to share with you real quickly. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. You see, today, it's very interesting to recognize that everybody knows about Jesus. You see, Mary and Joseph walked on this planet, and when they walked on this planet, many people saw the Christ child. But there's a difference between seeing somebody and recognizing them. And Simeon had a supernatural experience. He had the experience where it was more than just seeing another child coming to have circumcision done. This was, he looked at this child and saw the promise. You see, today, you and I, and many people on this planet in America, over 80% of Americans call themselves Christians. But many of them have never recognized who Jesus really is. They see him as a religion. They see him as a tradition. They see him as a tag that they were given as a child, whether it be Protestant, whether it be Catholic, whether it be Lutheran, whether we can go through all the tags that this religious world has. But there's a difference between religion and recognizing Jesus. There was a man named Saul who his whole job was he loved persecuting the Christians. And one day on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says that he met somebody or recognized somebody, and his name was Jesus. He was on his way to go arrest anybody who called themselves followers of Christ. And on his way, he was knocked off his little pony, and there was a blindness came over him. And Jesus spoke to him that day. Something changed. The change did not come because of church. The change did not come because of religion. The change came because there was a true recognition of who the one he met on the road to Damascus. The true recognition was Simeon finally recognizing, being able to hold in his hand the one who would bring salvation. Salvation is so powerful because salvation is not just that your sins will be forgiven. Salvation is that you would be whole. You see, God wants you a whole person. He wants you whole in your spirit so you can go to heaven. He wants you whole in your mind and in your soulish realm. He doesn't want your emotions shattered and tattered and torn. He wants nothing to be misplaced and nothing to be wounded within you. This is what salvation has come to bring. Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came for you and I so that we could be whole people. When you recognize him beyond the religious traditions of your life, when you recognize him for who he truly is, Jesus, the Messiah, the one who will save his people from their sins. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. When you recognize Christ, everything changes. Your sight pattern changes. How you view God changes. And you now see him as not a religious token, but you see him as Christ the Lord, who will save me from my own sin. See, the truth is the truth. And the truth is for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this room that has not sinned. The Bible says if someone says they have not sinned in 1 John, then they're a liar. Everybody has sinned. We all have to pay for our sin. And the penalty for sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. When we recognize Jesus, it's not just that I think I like God or I think I want to be a Christian. When we recognize him for who he is and what he has done. The baby came and was laying in the manger as a legal declaration that he will save his people who call upon his name. You see, when you and I call upon Jesus because of the sin in our life, we no longer have to pay for the wages of our sin. He's taken it for us. The sad part is that not everybody's going to receive Christ. Not everybody's going to accept Christ. Therefore, they have to pay for their own sins. But why in the world would you pay for your own when somebody has already paid it for you? And today, that's the Jesus that we serve. He did not come because he was made to. He did not come because he had to. He did not come to start a religion or tradition. Jesus came because he loves you and I so much that if we will call on him, he will take our penalty. He will take our penalty. Therefore, we do not have to, and our sins will be washed away, and we can have a living, vibrant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can live in this place where we know that, yes, we walk on this planet, but our life is in God in heaven. We know who he is, and we walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, at his tabernacle, we refuse to dish out religion. We want you to know him, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who saved us from our sins. And by this tonight's end, we would like you to think about this. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving already through this congregation, and God is moving on people's hearts in this room that are either in a backslidden condition, who have never maybe known God. Maybe you were an atheist at one point in time, but God, you can sense him knocking on the door of your heart. If you will turn to Christ, he will change your life tonight. That's why we celebrate Christmas, and that is the only reason we celebrate Christmas. Amen. We'd like to take communion with you this evening. We had you receiving the communion cups while you were coming into the sanctuary. And if you did not receive a communion cup but would like one, we'd like you to raise your hand. The ushers will come and make sure that you receive a communion cup. There are folks with no communion cup. There you go. Please keep your hands raised. We want to make sure you get a communion cup in your hand. Anybody else did not receive communion cups? Over on this side, they're coming down the aisle now. In the middle section, there you go, Michael is there. If you're online with us this evening, you can go to your kitchen and grab some grape juice and maybe a cracker, a Ritz cracker, and you can receive communion with us. We're going to have Pastor Rhonda lead us in communion tonight.
Amen. Tonight, as we take communion, as Pastor was speaking, I want us to take this recognizing who Jesus is to us. And the fact that you all came out on Christmas Eve starts the recognition that already is happening inside of your heart. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says to do this in remembrance of me. So let's do this in recognition of what he has done for us. And in 1 Peter 2:24, he says, the price that he paid, the gift, live a perfect life to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It says he was a sacrifice not only for our sins, but also for all of our sicknesses and disease, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. So what he did, what we're remembering and recognizing, that no matter where you're at today, you can acknowledge, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. God, forgive me. Make me that new person that Pastor talked about. Make me clean. That is what this gift is all about. That is what we're recognizing today, that he forgives every one of our sins. And you know what? We have no problem with that. But the second part of that very same verse says that he came and died on that cross as a sacrifice for every one of our pains, sicknesses, and diseases. We readily receive that he will forgive every one of our sins. Tonight we're going to recognize that he readily heals us of every single one of our sicknesses and diseases. I am standing here as living testimony that he heals every single disease. There is nothing named that is greater than the name of Jesus. So tonight, as we take this communion, he's going to wash away every single one of your sins. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've never even known Jesus. The price and the gift that he gave is to wash away every single one of your sins. And he's going to heal every one of your sicknesses and diseases. It is the word of God, and God cannot lie. So it's nice to know about God. But tonight we're going to recognize, as we take communion together, we're going to do this in remembrance of him. So as we, thank you, take the bread, this is his body that was broken for you. I'm praying for revelation, recognition right now for you. By his stripes, you are healed. And it also says, by his stripes, you were healed. So as we take this bread tonight, it represents his body. We are receiving healing of every sickness, disease, and pain, even if it's the common cold or a headache or the biggest sickness and disease that the doctors say there is no hope for. There is a hope. He came, and we celebrate that hope even tonight. So as we break this bread and take it together, we thank God for healing of our every sickness, every disease in the name of Jesus, every single pain. We recognize, we do this in remembrance of the great gift that you have given us. Take the bread together. And then as we take this cup, it represents his blood that makes us whole. Not only does he forgive all of your sins, he makes you whole and complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, no hole in your heart, no gaping wounds. He completely reupholster. He makes all things new. So right now, no matter where you are in your heart or how many sins you have, old things can be passed away and all new as we recognize and remember the gift that he gave together. So are you ready to make ourselves brand new? We can leave this place recognizing and receiving the greatest gift of all. Take this cup together. We just thank you. We thank you so much for your gift. We recognize and we do it in remembrance of you, remembrance of the gift. And we thank you for healing our body. Thank you for taking all pain away, all sickness and all disease. Everything the doctor said was impossible, you did it for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking away every sin. Thank you for taking away the stain and making us brand new. You are awesome, God. Awesome, and we celebrate you. Amen.
Amen. I want to remind you that this is about covenant. And that to receive the promise is not just taking the cup, but confessing him. And maybe tonight you have never confessed Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I'd like us all to bow our head and let's pray to the Lord tonight. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior and tonight you'd like to receive him, you recognize him like Simeon. You saw him and recognized that he was the Messiah. The only way to be saved is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. So tonight, if you don't know him, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, come on right out loud. Everybody pray together. Dear Jesus, tonight on Christmas Eve 2016 at 8:06, I recognize just like Simeon that you are the Savior. Tonight I make a personal decision. I don't want religion. I don't want to follow tradition. I want you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for being the Savior. And tonight I make a decision. I want you to take my life. I'm all yours. Forgive me of my sin. Please, Jesus, start living through me. I'm a brand new person. All my sins are washed away. I'm brand new. Starting right now. In the name of Jesus. I'm never going back to the world. There's nothing there for me. I only want Jesus and the relationship he has for me.
And the relationship he has
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, tonight, right after the service, I know with the hustle and bustle, it's very easy to just to go on our way. But tonight, if you prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your heart and you meant it and it was new, maybe brand new, maybe in your backslidden condition, you're coming back, or brand new salvation, we'd like you to meet us right on over here in this corner. We have Bibles for you. We want to encourage you, strengthen you. It's not just how you start, it's how you finish. Amen. We want you to have all the tools you need in the kingdom to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Tonight, we're getting ready for our candlelight portion of the service. And if we could have everyone stand with us, we'd ask that none of the children would have the lights. We don't want any of the children burned by the wax or anything in that matter. So if the mom or dad could please hold and be with them and hold it together as we sing. If we could have everybody, there's the candles in the middle aisle up there as well. If we could all make our way to a table as orderly as possible and grab a candle. Make your way back to your chair so this way we can sing together. Turn off all the lights and see how beautiful it's going to be. Make sure as you're coming forward that you say hello to a few people. Let them know that you love them. Maybe if you've never met them, say hi. I don't know you. What's your name? Boy, having candles like this makes me want to sing "This Little Light of Mine." I want to let it shine. If you're watching by live stream this evening, why don't you go grab a candle? Get ready to sing with us. You can shut all the lights down in your room and participate wherever you are in the world right now. We still have more candles up front if you don't have one. Team, can you go deliver some? This is such one of the most beautiful parts of the service, is being able to sing together. I just really feel in my heart as well is that there are folks here that Christmas is not a real fun season for you. You've had great loss and your sadness of heart is strong. And I want you to know tonight that Jesus can turn your sorrow into joy. Jesus can heal your heart. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just pray real quickly as they're continuing to pass out candles. I'd like to pray for those whose hearts are in this room that are broken because of loss during the seasons. Maybe you feel alone. And I want you to know that Jesus will meet your need where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight that you not only, Lord, will touch and forgive our sins, but God, you also know those places in our heart that are gaping wounds and a loneliness that seems to overtake us. I pray for those tonight in the name of Jesus that are in this room that are struggling, God, in the Christmas season. I pray, God, that you'll turn it from sadness to joy as they will be able to rejoice with you. God, only you can touch them in this place of their heart. So we ask that you'll heal them, restore them, restore the joy, oh God, in their heart. And Father, it doesn't need to be dismal, but God, it can be celebratory. And we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Does everybody have a candle? Let's all stand together. We're going to shut the lights down, and we're going to sing together. Yeah, Brother David.
The stars are bright, they shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. rejoices, for yonder he breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel's voices, oh.
Jesus, tonight we again just want to say thank you. Thank you for being willing to come down here and live as a man. Thank you, Jesus, for surrendering all of your heavenly glory, that you could show us and pay the redemptive price for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have that promise that you said if we receive you, you never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us always, even to the end of the earth. Lord, tonight, as we depart from this place, we ask that we will have that recognition from those who have been saved for decades to those who have never once heard the message of the true saving grace of Christ. I pray that tonight our lives will be changed by you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you very much. And everybody in agreement said, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we're going to have Christmas morning service. I don't know about you. I think that that's one of the greatest things. Some people have said to me, Pastor, I'm going to be opening presents with my family. That's beautiful. I like that. I'm not condemning that. But, boy, I'd rather open presents before and then come to church as a family and celebrate him on Christmas Sunday morning. And that's what it's all about, Christmas Sunday morning. Amen. What a great opportunity. Can I say something? Merry Jesusmas to you. Amen. Can you turn to five folks and say, Merry Christmas. We love you. Have an awesome night. Be safe on your ride home. Enjoy your family. If you accept...